Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And it is a Friday episode, and I hope you are excited to get blueballed.
That is what is happening for sure, man. This, we get so close to so many things.
This is, so we've praised the editors a few times for like having some perfect cuts halfway, you know, or like right at the end of the scene is right when the end of a minute happens and everything. Not today.
Nope.
Sorry.
This is,
is quite the opposite of that. And because of that, I almost fucked up my notes for this.
Yeah.
And actually wrote about a minute and 30 seconds worth of notes. So I had to go in and fix them before we before you got here today.
Well, crisis averted.
Yep.
So we're picking right back up where we left off. UA's head is freshly on the ground.
Yep.
We get
bodies
that.
Have hit the floor.
Bodies have hit the floor. Absolutely. And wouldn't you believe it? The Baron is just, he's tired now, yeah. Man. He looks so.
He did his physical activity for the year.
Yeah. He floats over the table and Letho's awake at this point.
He just sits his ass on the edge of the table and is just
he's got to take a breather. You know, he spent a lot of energy eating that meal, a lot of energy lifting UA up, which is legit. That took a lot.
Yeah.
And a single slice to cut off a head with a, which was with what is ostensibly
a steak knife.
A steak knife. Yeah. That's crazy too.
Yep.
Floats over to Leto and goes, what do you think is next?
So what do you think is next?
Which is an odd question.
Such like a psychopath fucking moment.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Leto's fully conscious throughout all of this, but he just can't move. And he's just laying there sweating, by the way. He's covered in sweat.
Yeah.
Just fucking, he's not.
He's stressing.
Yeah, he's had better days.
We don't get to know who he thinks is next. Not right now, anyways, because we cut back over to Jessica and Paul, continuing to unpack the backpack.
Finds a thumper.
But no still suits, which is the one thing they really need.
Thanks, UA. Fucking it up.
I was thinking, thanks, exposition, Paul. We knew that.
Well, yeah. I mean, Paul's been Captain Obvious all week. Let's be real. But in the bottom of the thumper's holder, he also finds something else. A little cloth bag, as it were.
Yeah. We don't get to figure out what it is right now.
Nope, because we're cutting back.
We have to leave this scene, back to the dining room.
For hundreds of years, we've traded blood for blood, but no more.
Yeah, so I want to put a little bit of a pause right here.
I would love a little bit of a pause right here.
So it's true, the Harkonnens and the Atreides have been feuding, Hatfield and McCoy style, it would seem. And I just kind of
slightly less hillbilly, I'm sure.
Probably, yeah. Space hillbilly. So I wanted to give a little bit of a the Cliff Notes version
of history of the conflict.
Yeah. And this is extremely high level. I believe this is coming from some of the Brian Herbert books. So take them for what you will.
God damn it, Brian.
But the wiki has a whole page on the Harkonnen Atreides feud. So it dates back to the Battle of Corrin, when the current emperor, his line, the House Carina, took power.
Yep.
There's a character named Vorian Atreides, and this is in quotes, he was the leader of the League of Humanity.
Okay.
Top-notch writing there, buddy. The League of Humanity. Look,
when you can't stop writing, you just take whatever comes to the fucking top of your head and you just keep on rolling with it.
There's also a character named Abulard Harkonnen. That's A-B-U-L-A-R-D.
Okay.
He was one of the top generals in the League of Humanity. And him and Vorian were very close friends. At one point, they
would call them lovers. Probably not.
They were roommates. At some point,
sitting in a hot tub 5 feet apart because they're not gay.
Who knows? They had at some point they had a disagreement on tactics, and the Harkonnen refused an order, and the Atreides relieved him of duty, and basically sure. like sent him to the brig, I guess, or whatever. They just like, confined him.
Yeah.
Despite you know being confined, he still found a way to sabotage the plan that he had refused. Which didn't stop them from winning. They did end up winning that conflict, but a lot more people died because of the sabotage that the Harkonnens did. So Vorian Atreides, pretty pissed at this point.
Rightly so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just sent a bunch of people unnecessarily to their death, that you know any good leader would be a little upset.
Yep, exactly. So after the conflict was done, Vorian initially sentenced Abelard to death.
Okay.
But instead chose to banish him with dishonor.
To Gaedi Prime you go.
Well, not exactly. There's a few steps in before they got to Gaedi Prime. This was a long time ago.
In a galaxy that's pretty close.
Yeah. So there are a bunch of other inflection points that happen throughout the millennia. That continued to just kind of like compound upon this like hatred of the Harkonnens and the Atreides.
Yeah.
Initially, the Atreides didn't really hold that much ill will towards the Harkonnens.
Sure.
But the Harkonnens were fucking pissed. So generations after generations of this feud building, it led us to this table and, with Vladimir Harkonnen standing over the body of Leto Atreides.
Can't stop eating sligs. He's just fucking going to town.
Yeah. So Leto is, I mean, he's still for the most part out for the count. His eyes are open. He's aware of everything that's going around.
Still sweating a lot.
Yeah. But can't move a single muscle.
Still PG-13, you know, camera angles and whatnot.
Oh yeah. They're very creative. Vladimir looks over him. He goes, "Your son is dead. Your concubine is dead. Tonight, the House of Atreides falls."
We see a single tear stream down Leto's face. So, okay. Had Vladimir Harkonnen known, and we know that he doesn't know, but had he known that Leto's concubine was his daughter, do you think he would have gone through everything and still killed her?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. If you read enough about the Harkonnen family, they have... a pretty
no loyalty.
Well, yeah, and they have a pretty extensive like history with killing family members.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have been anything out of the ordinary for them if it got him to where he needed to be.
It's just Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, sucks to be Jessica then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so- we get the single tear out of Leto's eye, and gosh, he must be just like in agony inside, not being able to move.
Well, we would know if you watched the 84 Lynch, when we have these moments of internal monologue.
Yeah.
And we feel his agony in this moment. But this isn't the 84 Lynch. This is the 2021 Denis Villeneuve.
That's right. Then he finishes the sentence and says, "And your bloodline ends forever." So... after all the feuding that has happened since Vorian and Abelard Harkonnen, yeah, this is where it's all coming to a head right here.
Or so Vladimir thinks.
Well, that's the plan anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. Because as far as he knows, Paul and Jessica are just out in the desert.
They're as good as dead.
Yeah. So we're going to take that victory lap a little early. At this moment, Leto kind of is... mumbling something under his breath.
It's all he can muster the strength to do.
Yeah. Vladimir is like, "What the fuck?" And we see him activate his shield, which I think it's such a fucking cool design. Cause like we've seen Leto use just the standard shield, Paul and Gurney, and you know, everyone else uses the standard shield, but Vladimir has this like long whole finger ring.
Yeah.
It's almost like a claw, and he just like taps it and it activates his shield.
Yep.
And I got to give props where they're due. Vladimir's the only one that is actively like turning his fucking shield on and shit here.
I had that written down too.
Yeah. Like, he's the only one that's not stupid enough to leave his shield off when he goes to lean in, even though he knows that Leto is paralyzed.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is his moment of genius right here. He actually uses his shield. Good job.
Yep.
Baron.
He just leans in and says, "What did you say?"
And then we leave.
And then we cut away. We cut away. Beautiful moment to then see Paul taking something out of the woven bag. We don't know what it is, but it's heavy and round.
He starts to tip the thing out of the bag, and the camera reverses and shows his face. And that's where the minute ends.
For a minute. Fucking ends.
We don't get to hear what Leto says. We don't get to see what's in the bag. Fuck.
Blue balls.
Yep. Blue balls of the episode right here.
We can't even really talk too much about the books because
I got a few points.
A few, but
yeah,
like we're going to stop you mid paragraph here.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just like the leftover stuff from throughout the week. Because again, like I said, they were bouncing around between chapters.
Yeah.
So like we learned something in the first chapter that they mentioned in the second chapter, but it's kind of spoilers to us where we are in the movie right now. So yeah, it was kind of hard to pick and choose what to add.
Yeah.
So the few book notes that I did have though. So we are introduced to the table and food scene. Mm-hmm. Remember, like I said, we dealt with UA first and then their attention turned to the Duke in the book. Same as it did in the movie.
Yep.
But Leto is knocked out for much longer of a time in the book. So while they are waiting for Leto to come out of his coma effectively.
Yeah.
That's when they prepare the meal. I think I said that a couple episodes ago, but that's when they prepare the meal. And then we kind of get reintroduced to the scene as we saw it in the movie. The questioning that happens right now, the Baron is trying to like needle Leto to figure out where Jessica and Paul would have gone. So they know that something happened and the drop off in the desert didn't go exactly as planned.
Yep.
In the books. So he's trying to figure out if they have like a predetermined rendezvous point, that they can go search for. He makes it feel like, or he makes it sound like to Leto that they didn't find him at all. Like where, you know, the Baron's asking Leto, where's Jessica? Where's Paul? Where'd you hide them? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Trying to make him think, oh, they're safe. They're safe. But really he's just trying to figure out where they would have gone had they been free and like had fled the attack.
Had the family put together an emergency fire escape plan.
Yeah, exactly. And all the while they're trying to get this information out of Leto, Piter is explaining the different methods of torture that he's prepared to enact upon Leto to get this information out.
Yeah.
He says, the Baron goes, something to the tune of, Piter, you don't have all your tools here though. You may have to improvise. And, Piter's like, improvisation is often, yields the best results.
Yeah.
So,
like a true psychopath that he is.
Yeah, for real. He mentions like pulling fingernails, and dripping hot tallow. And
I feel like maybe the better person to torture for all this information isn't Leto because in the movie, at least he can't speak, right? Like he's still like paralyzed and shit.
It's same in the books. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you go after like Thufir Hawat?
In book logic, they don't know where he is.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have Leto right now and the longer he continues to wake up, the more facilities come back to him. Faculties. The more
not facilities. God. Yeah. He's got this building over here and this building. This is a storage shed. Fucking.
His faculties start to return to him. Excuse me. So eventually, you know, he probably could have talked, but, that's where I'm going to stop with the book comparisons right now. Cause
because we're blue balled.
Yeah. What a cliffhanger. What a cliffhanger to win, to end the week on.
I'm going to be honest. The blue ball for today's episode, honestly, just I'm thinking five Shai Halud's.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool because we get to see like Vladimir like do his thing and just like completely cut UA out of the situation at this point. And we don't have to worry about UA being a problem anymore and all that. You know, Paul and Jessica are out in the desert in the still tent and everything, but man, getting blue balled like this just
really puts a damper on the week.
It does. It does.
Yeah, I'll join you in the low ratings.
I appreciate them doing what they're doing with going back and forth and everything between Paul and Jessica and Vladimir and Leto, but like, I feel like they could have done it without as many jumps back and forth.
Sure.
And probably would have still been fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
But also, I'm not watching this like a psychopath. Most people aren't watching this like a psychopath where they're going minute by minute with it.
Either. That's true. So, I think it works in movie logic.
The whole package, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and having these storylines kind of develop side by side does tell a certain story.
Yeah, I mean, it shows what's happening in both locations at the same time. I get it. I just...
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from the perspective of an insane person.
Fair. All right, cool, man. Well, that'll wrap up this week. Yeah, we'll be back to relieve the tension on Monday. And we'll find out what's in the bag. We find out what Leto's mumbling.
Yep.
And we'll just continue with this scene. So join us then. If you'd like to reach out, we are on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute. And we are always checking that email address, which is DuneMinute@gmail.com. We didn't say it throughout the week, but I'll say it here on Friday. If you're enjoying yourself here, please hop over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. Leave a comment. It does help spread the word. And
share the show with your friends.
Yeah.
Whether they're sci-fi nerds or just movie nerds, or if you want to give them something to listen to on their commute or whatever.
We are amassing quite the back catalog of episodes, so they've got plenty of stuff to listen to.
Yep, next week's gonna be fun because we're gonna be celebrating our 100th episode. Woo! Next week, so join nice. Us for not only the redemption of this blue ball ass week, but also a little bit of a celebration. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, cool. We'll see y'all then.
All right, catch you later.